Meeting out of my house, ready is good. Say that it was one of the mornings of Slukos. It's one of the mornings of Slukos that the Israel from Rishon, the Rishner, turned around and saw among the Chevrah there was something missing, there was somebody missing. And he asked the Gabbai to go find Klisha. You know, there's always this protagonist this time of year. Some of the stories is a woodchopper, some of the times he's a tailor, sometimes a shoemaker. But this time he said, go find Meishla the Vasatrager, the water schlepper. Go find the water schlepper. Guy said, okay. So they went out to go find this Vasatrager. They went to go find, just keep it on the, just remember that my parents, I spoke to my mother about the Shabbos. She told me about the Shabbos. Don't be a bacha. I think she used a different word. You know? I think she said, don't be an idiot, which is the opposite of bacha. She says, don't go anywhere. Keep the rules. There's Motzei Rosh Hashanah. I said, no, you keep the rules. She goes, don't go around gallivanting around in the yeshivas. I said, okay, maybe I will. I'll go somewhere, went to Torah or something. She goes, wear your mask the whole time. I said, okay, no problem. Just remember, keep it up. Besides everything else, even if it's technical, I don't have to wear it to find this thing, this force field over here. Just remember that I should just listen to what my mother said. Keep it up. So I hope it's not too distracting. If it is, I'll just continue or whatever. Anyways, it was Dr. Slichos that the Rishner sent the Gabbai to go find this guy Shmoishla, who's schlepping his pails. Schlepping water. Now it goes. The other day they go, they bring it up from the well, carry it on his back with this wooden pole, and deliver water around the community, door to door, so people would have what to cook with, what to drink, what to wash their clothing with. They went and they found Shmoishla on his route. And they said, Moishel, the Rebbe wants to see you. He said, the Rebbe wants to see me? Oh man, he's taking attendance during Slichos. They said, don't worry, the Rebbe wants to see you. Come with us. He said, I have to finish my route. People are counting on me for water. What am I doing? Oh, sacred mitzvah, I'm in the middle of something. I can't interrupt. So the guys helped him out. They schlepped the water with him, and then when they're done, they went to go back to the Beis Medrash. When they got there, when he saw from Rishon, the Rishner said, Moishele, tell us what was going on by you, Slichos. And he got all embarrassed and he said, Rabbi, it's not like I was sleeping. I was up, but I have a job to do. You know, the whole town counts on me. I had to slop the water. Rabbi said, no, but what was going through your mind? What were your kavanos during Slichos? I sensed this morning that there was something in our Slichos that was missing. And you have to keep. And he said, Rabbi, I thought the Rabbi was trying to make fun of him. Said, you know, I barely understand what's flying in Slichos. It was before the days that there was art school Slichos. It was really just like, you know, us taking the little white book and trying to figure out what's what. So tell us what was going through your mind. So sheepishly said as follows. He said, I was thinking as I was trudging up the hill, schlepping the water for the people in the neighborhood, I was thinking to myself, why is it during Slichos, throughout this whole period, over and over and over again, as we're trying to be forgiven by Hashem, right? We're trying to get in God's good graces. We're not eating entomins during these days. Right? We're like trying to ki'ilu put our best foot forward. And yet when it comes to our davening, we say, Chaneinu v'aneinu, Hashem, have mercy on us, have compassion, ki ravu avoneinu. Because we've done so many things wrong. Salach b'la v'neinu, forgive our wrongdoings. Why? Ki ravu. Because there's so much. There's so many of them. Please forgive. Usually it's the opposite. It's fakir. No? You come in 15 minutes after curfew, and you tell the dorm counselor or your parents or whoever the dean of discipline is, You say, oh, I didn't, my watch was off, my phone was, there's a blackout, my phone didn't reset, I don't know, whatever, there's a moment. Or no, I was here, I was in the driveway, I was just talking on the phone, whatever, I was cleaning out the car, you get on the scale and it goes up a few pounds and the trainer looks at you and says, what's going on? You're like, oh, no, I'm wearing different sneakers, they're heavier, last time I weighed in the morning, now it's at night. We try to find everywhere. The dog ate my homework. I don't know. You try to find something, some excuse to round up. Some way to divert attention from what was wrong. And here we're saying, forgive us. Why? Kirabu. Kirabu avoneinu. The Mishnah says, okay, nu, and he goes, Rabbi, I don't know. And then as I'm schlepping up the hill, trudging up the hill with these gigantic, heavy buckets of water on my back, the guys came from the Beis Medrash to catch me. They had to bring me, to summon me. And I said, I can't come. I'm working. I'm schlepping my load. It's really heavy. So they said, come, we'll help you, mashallah. And they put their shoulder underneath and helped schlep the water and deliver it. And they poured out the buckets. And I said, I thought to myself, hey, maybe that's what it means. Ribono Shel Olam, you and I both know what's what. You know my internet history. You know my thoughts. You know what's going on with me. You know where I did last summer and the summer before that. There's no secrets before you. I forget things. You know all the areas that I've fallen short, that I've failed. It's a lot. It's too much for me to deal with. What do you want? I'm a person. I'm a baser adam. How am I supposed to do this myself? But please, Hashem, forgive me because it's too much for me to do on my own. I need your help. I need you to do this together with me. The Rishna turned to all the chassidim and says, you understand? This is the yisod of all of tzaddikus. This is the yisod of all of tshuva. It might be heavy. It might be a lot for us to deal with. And it is. Purim is a lot. Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael. Hashem wants to do good for us, to be mezakos, to give us opportunities to draw close to him. But there's a lot to do. There's a lot to keep in mind. Mitzvah Saseh, Mitzvah Lo Taseh, Mitzvah Chaveiro, Lashon Hara. Oh, we're learning Halachos Lashon Hara at our table. It's like, oh, what? Yeah, okay. I guess I did that one also. Oh, yeah. Or you look in the vidui on the bottom there. You can figure out, you think, you say in viduis, you're doing the alchets, you look at the alchets for Yom Kippur, and you're like, okay, I'm not that bad. I didn't murder anybody. I'm not, I committed adultery. And then you read the footnotes in the back of the art scroll, and I go, they find every which way to touch up these al-khayts that like actually are. It's heavy. It's a lot. I don't recommend reading the footnotes. But it's a lot. It's a lot to handle. How are we supposed to deal with it? The answer is we're not supposed to deal with it on our own. It's a Ribono Shel Olam. I'm trying here. I want to draw close to you. But it's very heavy. Now there's even an asterisk on this season. We set a new record. There's an asterisk now. On El Tavshin Pei. An asterisk on Aser Simei Tshuva Tavshin Pei Al. There's an asterisk. There's a pandemic. The world has gone to hell. The world is unraveled completely. Do you know what's going on? This is on a fact of the ocean for the opportunity to be here today and avoid 2 hours of bloody murder and fighting over devices and computers for Zoom classes. It's like musical chairs in my house. I don't know if you know what this looks like. You come from there. You don't have a certain amount of kids and a certain amount of devices. You ever play musical chairs? Take away one of the chairs, they dance around, and then the music stops and everybody sits down and the guy who doesn't have a chair is out. This is a 6 kids who need devices to be on Zooms. I only have 4. There's necessarily somebody who's going crazy over there. Meaning it's just not, it's almost not possible. It's almost not possible the way that we thought it was supposed to be. There's an asterisk. And it's heavy. But the good news is, that even if it's difficult, even if it's challenging, and even if at times it feels like insurmountable, we're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to go through this experience of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, of this time in Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva, or in life, by ourselves. There was a Chabad Chassid, Lubav Chayiv, lived in London, who his granddaughter was visiting him for the summer. And shortly before she was scheduled to go back home to New York, her Zeta grandfather was anxious. That's the thing. People get nervous before flights. Grandparents get a little bit more nervous before flights. And he was a little concerned that his granddaughter was going to be traveling on this transatlantic flight back to New York by herself, an unaccompanied minor. So he wrote the Lubavitch Rebbe a letter. He wrote a pan. And he said, he asked for a bracha, that his granddaughter should have a safe trip and that everything should go well. You know, there was a time in history where it was like a big deal to get on an airplane. People used to put on a suit and tie to get on an airplane. It was a thing. It wasn't so common like it is now. So the Rebbe received the letter and sent it back immediately, the same letter that the guy sent. The Rebbe, with a red pen, made a couple edits. And where the fellow had written, he's concerned that his granddaughter is traveling as an unaccompanied minor, the Rebbe crossed out UN, un, and crossed out, next to minor, wrote, by Hashem. So when he got the letter, he got it back and said that my granddaughter will be traveling accompanied minor by Hashem. Because there's no such thing in Yiddishkeit as alone. There's no such thing as going on a journey or having to face a challenge. No matter how anxious we may be about it, no matter how difficult it may seem or insurmountable it may feel, a Jew is not alone. We're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to do this by ourselves. Mishnah Avos tells us, the Gemara describes also, that the world was created with 10 statements. And Asar Ma'amaros, the world was created with 10 statements. Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. Gemara counts, the Bereishis is also one of those statements. So that we can have the opportunity to build schar with every step, creation, to validate creation, to fulfill purpose of creation, and the opposite as well. Svasemis explains, if Rosh Hashanah is Hayom, Haras Olam, if Rosh Hashanah is the day where the world is birthed into creation, then Rosh Hashanah is represented by the first statement, which brought the world into being. And the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur that we're in right now, the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, parallel these 10 statements through which the world was created. From Bereishis until the pinnacle of creation, the 10th statement of creation, representing the sphere of Keser, on the 10th day of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the 10th statement of creation comes to be, says the Sfas Emes, is Vayomer Elokim, and God says, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man, B'tzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, let us make man in our image. The 10th day of the year, represented by the 10th statement of creation, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, is Na'aseh Adam. Yom Kippur is the day Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Who is the Ribbono Shel Olam talking to? Let us make man. What do you say? First opinion in Rashi brings, Hashem is speaking to the Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is teaching us what collaboration means, what humility means, is modeling for us how to work together, so to speak, as if God needs the input of the angels. It's also good. It's a good imagery for us when we come to Yom Narayim, we talk about the Malachim, Yochafezu, and the Malachim are bringing our tefillos to Hashem, Machnisei Rachmin, and all these different tefillos that mention angels. Okay. The second opinion in Rashi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us, the man himself. Vayomer Elokim, and God says to mankind, let us make man together. Let us enter into a partnership together to create and recreate and continuously create man. That 10th statement of creation, the ultimate purpose in creation, mankind, is represented and expressed in time as Yom Kippur, a day where we stand together with Hashem as partners in creation. Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, puts his shoulder underneath the great burden that we're schlepping around, and we do tshuva together. And we're not meant to do this alone. We stand before Hashem and we stand with Hashem, always. But Yom Kippur is the headquarters. And we're empowered to stand up and say, Ribono Shel Olam, you know this is hard for me. You know this is a lot. And Hashem says, okay, what am I asking of you? I'm asking you to fulfill your purpose in creation, to be your best, to be besimcha, to be a good person, to be compassionate, to be patient with others, to be honest, to be sincere. It's what we say over and over and over again. Hashem, Hashem, kelachem lechamim. Now, the refrain of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim that the Gemara instructs us to say, not just to say, but to do. The idea is not just to say them, but to live them. It's because there's this partnership with Hashem. You know, every Yom Tov, every holiday commemorates and we relive something that happened, right? Purim, I mean, this whole thing is a hemshech of Purim. Still wearing masks. Still have no idea what's going on. Rav Hutner said we didn't make Abdallah after Purim. It's still like to coming to a place where we're beginning to understand what it means Abul Yada, not really knowing anything. Having to like find Hashem hidden in the world. In the most obvious way, this has been a pretty Purim big year. Purim, we relive the Mishnah of Esther. We relive Esther coming before the Melech Kedas, Shalom Kedas. We relive that turnaround and we commemorate. We read Megillas Esther. Pesach, Yetzias Mitzrayim. We sit by the Seder and we relive that experience. Sukkot, we sit by Amnei HaKabod. We relive that experience of Besukkos HaShavtis. But in Israel, Chanukah, Yid lights Chanukah candles. We're remembering what took place in the Beis HaMikdash and we're reliving it also. Shavuos, Matan Torah, we're reliving Matan Torah, remembering it historically. It took place on that day, 49 days after the counting. But we're also reliving it. We're commemorating, we're remembering, and we're reliving it. Well, what's Yom Kippur? What do we commemorate, and what do we relive on Yom Kippur? It's very fascinating. I know the pepper thing. What do we relive? What do we commemorate? Yoni, what do you say? No Yoni? David? Menachem Mendel? Yeah. Got Yoni here? I spoke to Camp Simcha this summer. They had a very small group, but half of the program, you know, they had, I don't know, about 60 staff or so. Half the guys were from Curious Yo. Who are around your age, it's 18 to 22. I did the shik, I said Yoeli. Every single guy on that side of the room turned. Every single guy in the Yoeli. They're all born like, you know, it's like if you go to a Lubavitch thing, anybody born after Gimel Tammuz, and you say, you know, Mendy, literally 110% of the room turns around. What do you say? What's Yom Kippur commemorating? What's Yom Kippur reliving? Historically speaking. Excellent. After the greatest moment in human history, the purpose of creation. Without this thing, I walk around a little bit. I feel like I give an ask. What's that? Give a map. I don't know what I can do. Don't tell me what I can do. I'm glad you know when you're sitting there without a mask. Tell me what I can do when you figured everything out. Yeah, very good. No, I'm traumatized. I can't. I'm not. It's too much going on here. Also, it'll cause a lot. If it happens to me, that I get it. Forget about it. I'll be a super spreader. I can't do it. I can't do it. Anyways, I'm staying home. It's not like I'm going anywhere, but I can't folk everybody else. I mess up so many people right now. What's the story? What does this day commemorate? What does this day relive? Consider, just take a step back in Jewish history. Friends? Yeah. There, help me. Thank you. I perceive as a Jew does chesed, cares for other people.
Creation of the world.
Hayom Aras Olam. Rosh Hashanah. The world is created. And then on Yom Kippur?
I'd say creation of man.
Nasa Adam. Beautiful. What do you say? Excellent.
We got the second Luchot.
Oh. So where did the second Luchot come from? Take a step back. Yeah, excellent. Let's go through it. Just a quick timeline. Just a context. Rabosai, quick context. You know what's flying here. Shavuos. Okay, we have Matan Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah. And Chazal describes it. Shlomo Melech describes it. Yom Chasunaso. It's a wedding day. It's a wedding day. It's the purpose of creation. The why of creation. Then comes down and brings us at the Chuppah, Har Sinai, Aksuba, and Torah. And Shir Hashir, we say it every Rav Shabbos, Libavtini Bachas Meinayach, Libavtini Achosikala. With one eye we were looking at Hashem, and another eye we had our eye on the Chet HaEgel, on the golden calf. Rabbi Nachman says in Tzicha Saran, it's imagine at a chuppah, God forbid, not to be gassed, but the groom is standing there for the big reveal, for the kala. And he's got one eye on his kala and one eye on the bridesmaid. That's what was going on there. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and sees what's happening. Sees that this chet ayin gimel. My Rebbe doesn't even say egel. It's too embarrassing. It's too humiliating. From kvodo shel Yisrael, he won't even pronounce the words chet ha'egel. As the Meshech Chachma says, it was the most embarrassing moment in history. The most embarrassing moment in history. Here we are. Hashem is giving us the Torah. The purpose of our creation, we turn our back. And the luchos are broken. And Hashem wants to destroy the Jewish people. And Moshe stands up, the tzaddik, implores God. He made a promise to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Hashem says, fine, I'll destroy them and I'll start again through you. And Moshe says, I'm the captain, I'll go down with the ship. I don't want to be saved if it's going to be on their account. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu relents, and after days and days, 40 days of tefillah, of tachanunim, of crying out to Hashem, begging for a second chance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, fine, you can have a second chance. And on Rosh Chodesh Elul, 40 days later, after the 17th of Tammuz, where the breaking of the luchos take place on the 17th of Tammuz, Shviras HaLuchos, 40 days after that, from the 18th of Tammuz until Rosh Chodesh Elul, 40 days of davening, Hashem gives Moshe and Klal Yisrael a second chance. And Moshe goes up Har Sinai again and receives the second luchos and brings them down, delivers the second luchos on Yom Kippur 40 days later. Yom Kippur is the commemoration, is the reliving of those luchot shniyos, of those second tablets. Which more than any other movement in history, any other moment in history perhaps, represents Ribbono Shel Olam giving us another chance, Hashem relenting and saying, okay. Yom Kippur represents the fixing of this whole experience. Which is why over and over and over again we say the Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Ke'olach V'chadu. Those are the tefillos that Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael davened in those days. And after days and days and days of imploring Hashem for a second chance after that great betrayal, it's like a reality television show. It couldn't be so salacious. Such a betrayal. After days and days and days of Hashem, Hashem, Kerach, and Lechanon, the end of the story is already written. Vayomer Adonai, Salachti Kidvarecha. Hashem says, I forgive. Kidvarecha. What's Kidvarecha mean? Survey says, according to your words. Vayomer Hashem Salachti. I forgive you. I'm going to give you a luchos shniyos. You're going to get a second set of tablets. Salachti, I forgive. Kidvarecha. Kidvarecha. That's the key. The hashtag of these days is Kidvarecha. According to your word. Do you believe it? The Moshe wants to know. Do we believe that Hashem is going to forgive? Do we believe that Yom Kippur is a day where Yitzumo Shel Yom is Mechaper, where the essence of the day does the job? No, all we have to do is show up and be a little bit of ourselves, be a little bit honest, and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's heavy, and I need you to do this with me. Hashem said, Salachti Kidvaracha. If you believe it, if you say it, I'm there. I'm there already. Rav Meshulam Feish of Tosh was one of the great tzaddikim of Hungary. He went through the Hungarian labor camps during the war, and he came to Canada after the war. Anybody from Canada?
Sir.
Very good. Montreal?
Toronto.
It's a different part, it's a different country almost, Montreal, yeah? But, have you ever been to Kiryas Tosh? Near Montreal, you've been there?
Yeah.
Okay. You've been there?
Montreal?
No, outside of Montreal, there's a small shtetl. It's not so small anymore.
No.
Anybody here from Muncie?
Yeah.
Another shtetl.
My name is
You've been next door to Muncie, but the New Square? The New Square is like you step into the New Square, it's like 200 years ago. More or less. Except for the chevah with the, who have a second phone, you know, walking around the phone booth. There was something when I was growing up. Oh, that's Carter. Schiller. Anybody play hockey in an MPA or knows whatever Schiller? But I was growing up, the joke was about New Square, that there was a buck or a kid who lost it, who needed to get out of New Square. He was losing his mind. It was too much for him. He had to get out of shtetl. So he walked out to Route 45 from New Square and stood on Route 45. And he flagged down a car. The car stopped and said, you know, what's going on? Do you need a ride? He said, yes, I have to get out of here. Can you take me to America? So what New Square is in Rockland County, that's what Kiryas Tosh is outside of Montreal. Rabbi Shulam Feish came from Hungary, a survivor. And he came to Canada and found a little area outside of Montreal in the countryside and literally created a shtetl called Kiryas Tosh, named after the shtetl Tosh, Hungary, that they had before the war. I went there when I was in YU one time, went to break with a couple of guys, took a road trip to see the Tosh Rebbe. It was a chassid gedol lane. He was an unbelievable kaddosh. He was a kaddosh elyon. His days and nights were spent in Torah and tefillah. He barely ate. He got literally with incredible Maseiros Nefesh and Avos Yisrael would sit there all day, taking kippah and davening for people, learning all night. I mean, literally, like stories of tzaddikim from hundreds of years ago. He just passed away a couple of years ago. He lived in our door, in our generation. Anyways, in the early days of Kiryas Tosh, when they built the original Beis Medrash there, the original Shtibul, that's where people came, all the survivors and Jews, Pshutei Am. Before they moved to Kiryas Tosh, they were in the suburbs of Montreal. Kiryas Tosh is Chassidish Shtetl. Montreal was a city. So Jews would come, all different types of Jews would come to daven there. So there's one, Yom Kippur, it was freezing cold. In New York now, it's like 40 degrees. People are wearing sweaters. I'll send me a clip from Slichos outside. Everybody's wearing sweaters. I'm davening Slichos next to a dumpster in 100 degree heat on my block in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Guys are wearing sweaters outside. Imagine in the Montreal winter, 40 years ago, maybe closer to 50, it was Yom Kippur morning, and the chevra were sitting at a table, freezing cold. And there was a guy there, a European shayid, wasn't a real Am Haaretz, didn't know, but he came, Yom Kippur, he showed up, Yom Kippur. He looks around, he says to the chevra, don't worry, I'll take care of it. He was a plumber. So he went downstairs to the boiler room, Yom Kippur morning, and I don't know, the guys look at each other like, what? Comes back up like 20 minutes later, half an hour later, his hands are filled with grease, and the heat knocked on. And he looks at them and he goes, don't worry about it. I fixed what I had to fix. I was haste in den. It's hot down there. It says, haste oven. It'll be hot up here too. Meaning I got the heat working. These guys were blown. These guys were appalled. Hungarian Hasidic survivors, they were appalled. They couldn't believe it. How could they dive in a place there where the heat was turned on by Yom Kippur morning? It's nuts. After davening, they were like thrown off by it. After Yom Kippur, they went to get the Gedyor from Tosher Rebbe. And one of the Chassidim like broke, and he said, Rebbe, you know you don't want to hear bad about other Jews. You know the Rebbe's very careful to hear anything bad. But the plumber, there was an Amaret, so he came to daven with us today. And in the morning, he wasn't working. He went down to fix the boiler. Middle of Yom Kippur, it's Mechal Yom Kippur. Mechal Yom Kippur to fix. And he didn't understand, he wasn't even embarrassed. He came upstairs and he said, I fixed it, don't worry, I made the kunim, I fixed it. Obeshes is in bed, and now that it's hot downstairs, says, hey, Soyman, it's also going to be hot upstairs. Now, Tosher Rebbe flinched for a moment hearing that he did the broken kippur. But then he closed his eyes and had a big smile. And he said, Chevron, did you hear what he said? But did you hear? If it's hot downstairs, if we make the tikkunim here, if we do the work down here, Oipus says, haste, and then, if we make it hot down here, it says, haste, Oipus, then it will be hot upstairs. Vayomer Hashem, salachti, kidvarecha. This is what it means. This is one of the areas of confluence, of agreement, theologically, between the students of the Gemara and the students of the Baal Shem Tov. That theologically speaking, a Kodesh Baruch Hu responds to us. Say, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yiminecha, which means God is like our... Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for God is with me. What is it? Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is like our... shadow. That means if the hand moves, the shadow moves. Hashem Tzilcha Al Yad Minecha, says the Nefesh HaChayim and the Magid of Mizrich. When we do down here, when we make movement down here, then in response, Kaviyochel Hashem moves up there. Our actions, our words, our thoughts, our deeds have an impact in the upper world. Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha. Hashem Tzilcha Yad Minecha. If we make the tikkunim down here, Zeis and Ten, if it's hot down here, then it'll be hot up there also. That's what we learn from the Yud Kimel Midas HaRachamim. The Gemara tells us, do these 13 midos. Do it down here and Hashem will do it up there. It's a very simple algorithm. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is counting on us and on our partnership. He's not intending for us to do it on our own. So on Yom Kippur, we're celebrating and we're reliving the Luchos Shnios, the opportunity to start again. And Hashem's belief in us, and Hashem's partnership with us, and counting on us to just be straight with Him, not expecting us to do it on our own, to schlep the buckets up the hill by ourselves, how are we supposed to do it? Now when Moshe Rabbeinu came that first time, imagine that glorious moment. It says in Zohar HaKadosh that the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol that we described so beautifully, the Pirat of Mara Kohen on Yom Kippur, you know the Yishai Ribo song? That the Asherei Am Shekachalo, that incredible glory and shining of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, is drawing from the light of Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down from Har Sinai. The Zohar says that light of Yechida, the highest pinnacle of human self-expression, of soul, is drawing from that moment at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down, Pasuk says, Va'efen Va'ered Min Ahar. Moshe turned away, so to speak, from Hashem. Va'efen, God turned, Moshe Rabbeinu turned, Va'ered Min Ahar, and he came down. And it says that the mountain was filled with fire, there was fire on the mountain, and the nation saw the sounds, and they heard the sights. It was an incredible experience, beyond human, beyond Kalim. And Moshe Rabbeinu starts descending from Har Sinai and sees Chetayim Gimel, sees this great betrayal. And then there's the breaking of the Luchos, dropping of the Luchos, Shivrei Luchos. There's a great trauma. Pasuk says that the covenant, the priest that was in his hands, fell to the ground. Imagine that trauma for Klal Yisrael. Torah doesn't tell us exactly what happens with those broken pieces of Luchos. But the Medrash fills in a little bit. Chasam Sofer brings that there was this terrible trauma and shame that Klal Yisrael went through, that we caused the word of Hashem to fall to the ground, so to speak. And the process of those 40 days, davening, begging God, was, so to speak, picking up the broken pieces. And then Rosh Chodesh Elul comes along, and there's another opportunity. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up to the mountain, and for 40 days, but 40 days receiving again the second chance, the second luchos. The Torah says something fascinating. It's a fascinating language in Torah, Lashon and Pasuk. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Yom Kippur for the second time, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and brings these luchos shniyos, it says in Pasuk, Ba'efen, and Moshe Rabbeinu turned, same language, Va'efen, he turned away from the mountain and brought the Luchos Shniyos down, placed them in the ark, placed them in the Aron, along with the Luchos Shniyos, with the Luchos Rishonos, with the broken pieces. Same language. Full tshuva. Second Luchos came down without fanfare. It wasn't as exciting, it wasn't buzzers and bells and whistles. But after the broken tablets, after that rupture, after the betrayal, after that terrible trauma that the Klal Yisrael had gone through, like Chetayim Gimel, after the trauma, Va'efen again. Moshe Rabbeinu is as if he's saying, Chever, guys, Rabosa, 2 million people, women, children, men, 2 million people, said, Jews, Tyre Yidden, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. This Torah is the same exact Torah we had before. It's the same words. The presentation is different. Before, there was a Torah that you could see from both sides, see all the way through, the letters were floating, whatever. There was a whole different presentation. Luchos Shniyos, the same content. Listen carefully. It's the same content, the same words. Same mitzvos. Va'efen. But now we have to turn. Now we pivot toward a new way of this Torah coming down. The Imre Emes. Anybody hear of the Imre Emes before? We'll leave you with this. The Imre Emes of Abba Mordechai of Gur, the Ger Rebbe. He was one of the big tzaddikim of Poland before the war. And there was a heyday in Jewish history. Before the war in Poland, there was a heyday for Polish tzaddikim. I mean, there was just an incredible amount of Torah and Yiddishkeit and Kedusha in the world. And of Avraham Mordechai of Gur, the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, was of the greatest. The highlight of the year in Gur Kalavari, anybody been? Anybody went to Poland before? So you went to the cave of the Svas Emes? You went to Gur Kalavari? Probably, it's part of the trip. You go to the old Ger Beis Medrash, the Svas Emes Beis Medrash, the Chedush Erim. There's the Matzah Bakery upstairs where they say the Chedush Erim burned the Kutzvers Perish, whatever. Part of the trip, it's one of the stops on the journey. I've been there in many years, but I think about it often. In that little town, Gura Kalavaria, where the Imre Emes was, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, Zatzal's picture hangs upstairs next to the Grusses, next to the elevator. Rabbi Soloveitchik, you might have heard of in high school 50,000 times a day. Rabbi Yashavir Soloveitchik writes that he remembers as a young man in Poland, in Warsaw, that during Elul, they would add, the Minister of, the, of Transportation in Poland would add train routes for the Jews to get from Krakow and Warsaw, the big cities, and Lublin, Lodz, to get the Kura Kalavaria for Yontif. And there would be close to 200,000 Jews, Chassidish Yidden, who would come to spend Rosh Hashanah, Yom Lorayim, with the Rebbe. It's a thing. It's a thing in contemporary Jewish history and men go to spend Rosh Hashanah with the tzaddik. So he was in Chabad. I know a guy in Ramat Beit Shemesh, a guy who works and runs the mikvah on the Vizhnitz mikvah. He goes every year to Muncie, to Phyllis Terrace, to Vizhnitz Muncie Rebbe. This is the first time in a decade I didn't go to visit. The woman for Rosh Hashanah people, it's a thing. And Rav Soloveitchik writes that he had like this Hirhurei Tshuva, would wake him up in Tshuva during Elul when he saw that they were adding train lines for the Yidden, for the Chassidish Jews, to get the Gur Kalavari to spend with the Imre Emes. And the Imre Emes had a couple hundred thousand Jews would come for Yom Narayim to spend Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva all together, davening, learning, and taking on a new year. Imre Emes said, about the Luchos Shniyos. The first time Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, Ba'efen al Ha'am, he turned to the nation, and he was broken by what he saw. So the Luchos were broken. And the second time Moshe Rabbeinu came down Yom Kippur, Ba'efen, and he turned away from the mountain and turned to the nation, he was encouraged by what he saw. And that chizuk in Torah, that chizuk in Klal Yisrael, is what gives the Torah a lasting power until today. He said that Moshe Rabbeinu gemach, he made a nayir ponim, a new face. That he gemach, that Moshe Rabbeinu made a new face, a new way of seeing things, a new way of interpreting, a new way of facing the Jews, facing the Torah, and facing the world, a new way of interpretation of life. Gemach the nayir ponim. When he came down with Luchos Shniyos and Yom Kippur, he had a nayir ponim, a new face. Now, when Rav Yitzchak Huttner, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, Pachav Yitzchak, when Rav Huttner heard this pshetel, heard this vort from the Imre Emes, Rav Huttner nodded and said, "Oh, the Imre Emes, he could say such a thing. It's matim. For the Imre Emes, he could say such a thing. Why could he say such a thing? Why was Rav Huttner so excited? Perfect. That's exactly a pshetel for the Imre Emes. I'll leave you with this." Before the war, 200,000 Jews would come to the Imre Emes. And the highlight was Yom Narayim coming by the Rebbe to get a good Keben Shtiyar. To get a good Keben Shtiyar from the Rebbe. There are so many Jews, so many Chassidish Yidden who came to the Imre Emes, they would literally have to do it all night. They'd have rotations. The first group would line up, the Rebbe would look every person in the eyes and say, "A good Keben Shtiyar. Have a good, blessed year." And the other group went to eat. And then they would like switch throughout the entire night until the last moments before dawn, the Rebbe would go wash, have his Yom Tov meal, and then come to Daven Neis on Rosh Hashanah. All night, wishing Jews, thousands, tens of thousands of Yidden, a good Keben Shtiyar. But during the war, the Rebbe's wife and his family were killed. Gur Kalavaria went to Auschwitz. It was done. Over. The Imre Emes was a refugee. He escaped with three of his sons. The rest of his family was murdered. I have a book called Neis Hatzolah Sa'admur Migur, The Miraculous Salvation of the Ger Rebbe, written by Moshe Breger. Unbelievable. The Hashkacha Pratis of how he hid, shaved his beard, hid under a wagon, disguised as a Polish peasant. He made it across Eastern Europe until he got to Italy. As a refugee, Italy was fascist, Mussolini, Machshavo. And it came Yom Narayim, it came Rosh Hashanah. And he was there with three sons who survived, refugees on the run, and a handful of other Jews. They had 12 Jews davening together Rosh Hashanah night. That first Rosh Hashanah after surviving, after escaping. And they're diving in a basement, cellar, hiding. And one of the Jews who was there with them described this after the war. Could you imagine what that was like? From one year to the next, how fast things changed, the trauma, the unraveling of the world, the churban of the world, the brokenness of the world. And it came after davening, Leil Rosh Hashanah. And the Emri Emes of Avraham Mordechai of Gur turned around and went to every person with the same smile and said, "A good kibbutz yar." That's what it means, gamach, the nigh upon him, to make a new face. It's the same good kibbutz yar. It's the same Yom Narai. It's the same Torah. But it's a completely different presentation. The world might look like it's in trauma. The world is in trauma. There's brokenness all around. It's madness. A couple hundred thousand people sick in America, left and right, be doing here. Numbers spiking. The language that our little kids are growing up with is insane. It's crazy. It's a traumatized language. It's a language of illness. It's a language of korban. It's a gullus language. It's not a language of simcha and hiskarbus. It's crazy. It's nuts. Our son, by his upshurin, we had an upshurin, a corona upshurin. I don't know, I have corona weddings. I was making a big deal about corona weddings. I have a corona upshurin. Corona upshurin, he said something, you know, "Oh, Saba's not here because a senior ate a bat. Some Chinese guy ate a bat." I'm like, okay, I guess that's a normal thing for a 3-year-old to be talking about. I said, "But no, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is here." He's like, "Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is in Meiron." I'm like, okay. Right, we're in our backyard. The world is in trauma. The world has unraveled in what we expected and what we thought. But it's upon us to gamach and nigh upon him to make a new face. To turn around and the same good kibbutz, it's the same Torah. It's the same Masechta as it was last year. It's the same Shulchan Aruch. It's the same Talmud Bavli. It's the same Rishon Achronim. It's the same Masorah, Rebbe to Talmud. It's the same power between Chavrusas. It's the same words of Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kedvarecha. It's the same algorithm of whether or not that it's on us. If we believe it, it works. If we invest ourselves, it works. The end of the story is already written. Vayomer Hashem Salachti Kedvarecha. It might be very heavy. It might be very, very difficult. It might be a lot to handle. It might require a great pivot. A great switch, a great change. But dear friends, that's what's happening. That's what we're called upon to do, and that's what we're able to do. So Hashem believes in us that we can do. Haraya, we're here. Jews know how to play through pain. We know how to deal with trauma. We know how to survive. We know how to transmit Torah in difficult days. We know how to turn around and wish each other a good year when there's 200,000 Jews in good health, and Rahmanul Islam a year later when things look very, very different. We know how to do it. We can do it. We just have to believe that if we make the fixing and turn on the heat a little bit down here, Mir Hashem, up there will also be hot. And we'll see that we'll have a good Gebench Diyar, Vizocha, Tetshuva Shalema.